Welcome. Good to be here. We are in the last chapter of Ephesians. It's the last passage of the last chapter. So we've been doing this for 15 weeks, on and off since January. So we're gonna look at Paul's final words to the church. It would be really good to follow along. If you'd like a Bible, you can pop your hand up. And I know Wendy has a few at the back. There's a couple here, Wendy. And turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read it together, and we'll dip in and out as well. And so we are particularly talking about prayer this morning. And Paul uses these words to pray on all occasions, praying in the Spirit. And we'll explore that in a bit more detail. So the passage will be 17 to 24. And let me just adjust this a minute because it keeps switching off. That's what happens when you let your kids have your iPad before... There we go. So just do a very quick run through, and we're going to finish by praying together this morning, just to sort of prepare you for where we're heading. I thought it would be a good thing to do, and you can join in, you can not join in, that's fine, so you don't have to worry that you're going to be asked to pray or anything like that, but we will take some time to do that as a church. So it's worth remembering what we've seen so far in the book of Ephesians. It's one letter that Paul writes to this church in Ephesus, but also to all the churches around, and he's kind of wrapping up now to say what he's done. But he begins in chapter 1, what God has done for us in Jesus, that we're chosen, we're loved, we're adopted, we're redeemed, forgiven, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Then in Ephesians 2, saved by grace, not by works. I mean, we've got to keep coming back to that, that you, if you're a Christian, you put your faith in Jesus. It's nothing that you've done. It's a free gift of grace given to you by God that you can have faith in Jesus and have your sins taken away and have a relationship with your Heavenly Father through what he's done. And so we'll never forget that, because the tendency of the human heart is to try and earn our salvation, right? We think, oh, I've got to be good enough. Even if I know I'm saved by grace, well, I've got to sustain myself through good behavior. And that's absolutely not right. That's religion. And so we are people of grace. Now, if you are saved, the evidence of your salvation is your good works. It's really important to understand it's that way around. And so if you're a Christian, you will change. You will behave differently. You will live differently. If you're not a Christian and you look at other people who are, you think, oh, I need to behave like that to be a Christian. It's like, no. You need to get saved by grace through Jesus, and then your life will change. And that is the testimony of many of us in this room. And then he talks about Jews and Gentiles and how there was this separation in the world between God's people and everyone else. And then Jesus comes in and he tears down that wall of hostility and he makes us all one together. And so God is building his church. He takes these people, Israel, and then he extends it to the rest of the earth and says, no, I want to save people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And there's no separation now. We can all be one together in Christ. And the church begins. And that's why we've called the series One Body, because we are the body of Jesus. If you're a Christian and you're part of this church, you're part of this body. If you're not part of this church and you're a Christian, you're part of the worldwide body of Christ. And it's Jesus who's the head and we are the body. And so that's been our sort of theme, if you like, is that God is wanting to make us mature in Christ. And the way that he does that is to teach us about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And the more we get to know God, the more mature we become, we change in relationship with him. And then we get to 4 and 5, and it talks about how we live. So if we are saved, what does the Christian life look like? What is it like to live a life worthy of the calling that you've been given? And so there is a way that we should behave. There are commands for Christians and how to live, but they're not commands that are burdensome and heavy, and if you don't do them, you won't get this. It's like, no, you shall live like this, because you're saved by grace. You've got a new heart now, and that new heart, when you live in that place of the Spirit, knowing that God's Spirit is dwelling in us, it changes the way you live. And it's not you shall live like that, it's you shall live like this. And that's freedom. We talked about that already this morning. We've heard that, you know, Jesus came to give us freedom. And the freedom is to be able to live the way God calls us to. It's people who aren't saved that can't live like that. They don't have the freedom to live in line with God's commands. They just feel heavy and religious. And so great to hear that story, Linda, about Dani Alves and the Barcelona player. Just, you know, he got into prison. I think it's so fitting, actually, with where we are. Paul is in prison writing this letter. And he's in prison and he discovers freedom for the first time. Which means the world's idea of freedom is liberty, isn't it? It's being able to do whatever you want. That's freedom. It's like, no, no. True freedom is to be able to live for Jesus in relationship with him. And that's how God made us, because he's the designer, he's the author of life. And so when we talk about freedom as Christians, it's not about being able to do whatever you want. It's like, oh, I'm saved by grace, so I can just live however I want. No, you're saved by grace, so live for Jesus. Have a relationship with your creator. Learn to worship. Learn to read your Bible and discover that God is speaking to you and wants to change your life for the better. That he has a plan and a purpose, not just for this life, but for eternity. And then we get into this last chapter in chapter 6, the spiritual warfare that Johnny preached on last week. I thought it was really good the way he approached that and just talked about, you know, we have an enemy. God is real, but so is Satan. There is a demonic realm. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He rules this earth to some extent under God's sovereignty, is the word I wanted. God is ultimately in charge, but he's given some sense of free reign to Satan, but not for Christians. He doesn't rule us. He might lie to us and deceive us, but we're free from that. We're free from those chains. And so and he talked about the armor of God, and so we're coming right to the end of the armor of God, and it's basically like, look, you're in this spiritual battle. This is who you are. This is what I've done. This is how you should live. And this is the battle that you're in. And so to get through that battle, you need to put on the armor of God every day. Pick up the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is where we're going to start from, and the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, the hope that God has put in us that we are saved for eternity, that Jesus has done it all. And that one day we're going to be with him, which means you can face anything that the enemy throws at us because you have hope for your future. If you die tomorrow or today living for Jesus, you're going to be with him in glory. You're going to be in the best place you've ever been in. So that's the helmet of salvation. It's the hope of the gospel. And so I'm just building it up as we get into this last bit, because then Paul says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So let me read the passage. I'll put it on the screen behind us. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything. So Tychicus is the one delivering the letter to them. So he gets a good honorable mention here. It says, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We need your Holy Spirit to come and reveal things to us this morning, to encourage us, to stir our affections towards you, Jesus, and what you've done. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord, that you'll be speaking, Lord, even as I speak, not even my words, but I pray that your words will be going into people's hearts, to people's minds. Lord, show us how much you love us. Lord, this letter is all about how much you love us and what you've done for us and the wonderful future that you have for us. Can you reveal that to our hearts this morning? And Lord, I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you. Lord, will this be the morning that you come and you make them alive, Lord? Take them out of being dead in their trespasses and sins and bring them into new life with a new identity in Christ. Lord, it is a supernatural thing that you do. So I pray for faith to come this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. So we're going to work through it. So let's start. We're going to look at that verse 18 and really focus in on this a little bit, because we're talking about prayer. We're going to go into a series on the Lord's Prayer after this for a few weeks. So this kind of sets it up nicely. And you know, I hope it's not unusual for you to come to church and discover that Christians are told to pray. I think if you talked around the world, even people who aren't Christians, you'll find that people pray in all kinds of ways. Every other religion has some form of prayer. Even people who don't believe tend to have a sense that we should pray. And Paul says this. He's gone through all of that that's gone before, and then he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So we'll kind of break that down a little bit. And oh, I just lost the screen. There we go. Let's try that again. We're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. What does that look like? Praying on all occasions, and then to keep praying for all the Lord's people. And we'll do some practical praying as well for one another as we come to the end. So let's look at number one. So, and pray in the Spirit. And so to pray in the Spirit is to pray as people who belong to God. Paul said in earlier parts of Ephesians that the Spirit has been given to us. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that God is triune. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "It's better that I go, because when I go, the Spirit will come." And so if you're a Christian, if you believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit is in you. It says it elsewhere in Corinthians, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so God doesn't exist in temples made by human hands anymore. In the Old Testament, it was about the temple. That's where God came to dwell. In the wilderness, they had the tent of meeting, where the tabernacle, where Jesus, the Spirit of God, came to dwell with Moses. And then Solomon builds the temple. And so now we don't have the temple. That's why we don't overly celebrate church buildings. Because it's a building. I mean, there's some lovely architecture and things like that. And it can be quite a place to come and feel awe and wonder. But the church is the people. So we don't go to church, we are the church. If you're a Christian, you are the church. And so when we come together and gather on a Sunday morning, we gather as the church. He talks about living stones. Peter says that we are living stones being built together. It's a dwelling place for God. And so there's something amazing about coming together on a Sunday morning. And I hope that's part of what excites you about coming to church. I mean, maybe you're not excited about coming to church, and I'm really glad that you're here if that's the case, but there is a place where you can be excited about getting together with the people of God, because it's where God dwells by his Spirit. And there's something special that happens when we come together each week and we encounter God's Spirit in a different way. When we worship together, when we pray for each other, when we hear contributions this morning that build us up and encourage us. That's the church. And it's the most wonderful place. And you know, it's a place where everyone should be welcome in. And I think when people come here, I hope that they feel that they experience that. But if you're a part of Grace Church, you're part of Grace Church, haven't, then this is your family. This is your home. And we want to be ready to welcome people in and say, come in, come and join this family, come and get to know God. And it's because God's Spirit is at work in us. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying with the knowledge that God actually dwells in us. And so we can just pray words. You know, if you don't know God, you can still pray. You can say words and things like that. But praying in the Spirit is Christian prayer. It's speaking to God by the Spirit, but through the Son. And we'll look at that in a little bit more detail. And it's this kind of pattern that lays out that Scripture, if you think about the Word of God is the Bible, but also Jesus is the Word of God. And he talks about using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have Scripture where Jesus speaks to us, or God speaks to us through Scripture, and it comes from the Father through the Son by the Spirit, and then prayer goes back to God through the Son by the Spirit. So we pray in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And so if you think about it, there's a great quote from Tim Keller, and he says that prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through his Word, through the Bible, and his grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. And so there's this wonderful picture of God speaking to us through here. And so often people say, well, I never hear from God. It's like, well, do you read your Bible? This is primarily where God speaks to us. Scripture has been written down so that we will know what God wants to say. And we believe that this is the inerrant word of God. That God got the words in here that he meant to get in here because he's God. He spoke through human authors by his Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God actually enabled the writing of Scripture for God to speak to us. And in the same way, the Spirit of God in us enables us to speak to God. And so when you read Scripture, you hear from God and you respond in prayer. And so as you start to dig into the Bible, now it's not automatic and you need to learn how to read it and you need to press in. Sometimes you need to work through it, but if you're not reading your Bible, you will find that you drift away from God, that you find God is distant. Because this is the means of grace, if you like, that God has spoken to us. So if you want to hear from God, read your Bible. Because what you'll find is it then stirs your prayers. And praying is not easy, is it? It can be hard to do. Which is why we need the Holy Spirit. Many of us feel weak in prayer. We feel distracted, dry, maybe not knowing what to say. Especially when you're praying with other people, you can wonder, am I praying the right way? It's like, oh, I could never pray like that, so I won't say anything. But actually, prayer is something we learn to do. I know for many people, praying in public, I can remember when I got saved, I became a Christian and I was in this group, and I remember praying for the first time in this group, and it was so embarrassing. And I didn't really know what to say, and I blurted something out, and it sounded really stupid, but I was like, just glad I'd done it once for the first time. And I was with a load of other people that had done an Alpha course with me. And praying is hard. It's because it's weird, right? Because what you actually do, if you're not a Christian, like as Christians, if you're brought up with it, our kids find it really normal because we just pray all the time for stuff. And so they're used to it. They'll come and pray out the front and things. But that's because it's the air they breathe. If you're not in that and you've come from a different background, prayer is difficult. And we need the Spirit of God. It says in Romans that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us, prays for us with groans too deep for longing for words. And so Paul talks about that there's something about the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to pray differently to someone who's not a Christian. And so we pray in the Spirit. Another way we can pray is in tongues. Now that's weird as well. It's often the way, but actually I find that recently I've been praying in tongues more, and it's just a heavenly language. It's not real words. It's gobbledygook in terms of the actual words and what you say. Now, there is a gift of tongues, which is a translation of another language. But when you're praying in tongues, you're just letting your mouth speak. But what happens is the Spirit starts to work in you as you do that. And so, because people think, oh, how can I pray in tongues when, you know, I wouldn't know what to say? And it's like, how do you make the word? It's like, actually, it starts a bit like that. And it starts as a gift of the Spirit, but it starts to roll off. And then you move into a place where the Spirit starts to just work in you. You feel the presence of God. And I think we overcomplicate it sometimes. Sometimes to pray in tongues, you just need to start letting it happen. And it's a gift of God's Spirit. And Paul says, I wish everyone would pray in tongues. But he talks about it not creating confusion and being complicated. But when we pray in the Spirit, if I spend time praying in tongues, I start to encounter God. It can often take 5-10 minutes. And so you have to kind of push through, but you just get a sense of God's presence at work. And it's not that I know what I'm saying, but I feel it in my spirit. I get a heart. I can think about my family as I'm speaking in tongues. And like I say, the words don't mean anything. If someone wrote them down and said, right now, translate that, it doesn't mean anything. Unless it's the supernatural gift of interpreting another language, which can happen as well, but that's very rare. But I think for the everyday Christian, to speak in tongues is just to let your heart speak. And it gives you a way to communicate with God when you haven't actually got the words. And it's a heavenly language. But we overcomplicate it because we try and work it out scientifically. It's not like that. It's allowing your mouth to speak without engaging your mind to create words. And actually what you do is you engage your spirit to encounter God. And so, you know, at the end, give an opportunity to, you know, pray and be filled with the Spirit and ask for the gift of tongues. It's an amazing thing to be able to speak in tongues. But that isn't necessarily something that all Christians do. I know there are many good Christians out there that they've asked for that gift and they've not been able to do it. And so it is a gift from God to do it. And so Paul emphasizes that, you know, that it's wider than one gift. It's like there's gifts of faith. There's people who pray with real faith. And when we pray together, you actually, hearing other people's prayers to God can be a great way to encounter God in a different way. I love it when we get together for prayer meetings. We've got a prayer meeting this evening. I'd encourage you to come along to it. You don't even need... We have got one. Prayer and worship at Chichester, 7:30. So we're going to meet in Chichester this evening, and we're going to pray, and we're going to worship together. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Come along to that. You don't have to pray, right? You can just come and be in the presence of other Christians praying. But I promise you, if you come, you'll have a good evening, because they're always better than we think. And it can be a bit of effort. It can be hard work on a Sunday evening to come out. But do you know what? When we get together and we pray and we worship, we encounter God together. And so Paul is encouraging us to pray all the time. And so we also pray in Jesus' name. And it says this in, Jesus himself said this in John 14. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now that sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? It's like you can ask for anything. It's like in line with the Spirit. You know, when you ask for anything, it's like, well, in that case then, Jesus, I'd love to win the lottery tomorrow. It's like that isn't necessarily what God's will is for your life. And so sometimes the answer actually is, well, okay, I'll answer your prayer, but the answer is no. A bit like our children when they come to us and ask for something, ice cream before dinner. It's like, yeah, you're not going to get that. I love you. I hear your prayer, but no, you're not having it because I know what's best for you. And God's the same. He's a good father who loves his children. But when we pray in the Spirit, we pray in line with what God's will is. And I think that's part of wrestling with it. It's like, God, I don't really know what your will is in this situation. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation. But we come to God in the name of Jesus because that gives glory to God. The reason we can pray to God is because Jesus has dealt with the separation between us and God. Because our sin has separated us from God. Jesus deals with it. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not a magic word that you say at the end like abracadabra. It's like, no, we're praying in Jesus' name because Jesus is the one who's enabled us to be able to speak to God. Because we have a relationship with him through the Son. And so then when God answers our prayers, it's like it gives more glory to Jesus because Jesus paid the price for our sin so that we can have a relationship with God. And so we honor Jesus when we pray in his name. And there should be a sense of awe and wonder when we come before the God, the creator of the universe, and be able to pray and say, the only reason I can do this is because Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for my sin, and he took out my old heart and he gave me a new one. And his Spirit lives in me. And you can have a relationship with God the Father like a relationship that you have with people on earth. It's more intimate. I mean, Sean, it was great what Sean shared this morning. You know, it's like, can I really speak to God about that? And the kid's going, that is so dumb. Like God doesn't know all your thoughts anyway. And so actually it's for our benefit that we have prayer because it's a way for us to be able to be honest with God about what God already knows about. And so then when we learn to pray with one another as well, there's something about the fellowship. And I think Guy brought a passage from 1 John this morning, you know, that there's something about us loving one another and being together with one another. Within that same chapter, he talks about, you know, we can confess our sins to one another. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And there's something really powerful about speaking to another human being who's a Christian and being able to go, do you know what? I've got this stuff in my heart. I'd love you to pray for me. There's a release in it when another Christian doesn't condemn you but says, oh, let me pray for you. It's so good that you're able to share that. And so there's amazing things, aren't there, that we can do in prayer. And I think we take it for granted or we don't do it at our own peril. You know, we miss out. But it is hard. It is a battle. Think about the last time you prayed. Yeah, maybe it was this morning. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was months ago. Maybe you're praying all the time, which is great because that's what Paul's encouraging. And so we'll move on to the next part. It says, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So what can we pray for? You think about all the different things. I mean, when do you pray? When do you not pray is probably a better question. I find this sometimes if I'm busy at work, I can get straight into something and then it all goes wrong and I think, oh, do you know what? I should have prayed about that. Or maybe I need to start praying. Like, if you're like me, I tend to pray when everything's gone horribly wrong and gets to its worst. What I'm trying to learn to do is to go, actually, do you know what? I need to come to God first. And we can do that. We can take, do you know what? I've got it. God, I'm all right at the moment. I'll come to you later if things go wrong. And it's so tempting, isn't it, to be like that. And, you know, when do you do it? When you're making decisions, when you're tempted. Praying when we're thankful, praying when we're weak. God is not reluctant to be involved in our lives. It's like, I've had it with people, it's like, have you prayed about it? Well, no, I don't want to bother God. Anyone ever felt like that? Oh, God's not interested in that. That's way too small for him. I'll pray about the big stuff. It's like, all of your prayers are small to God. There are no big prayers. God can do anything. And it's not about him answering prayers, it's about building relationship with him. He's interested in the small details of our lives. And so when we come to him and talk about things, say, God, I'm just really struggling with this at the moment. I don't understand this, or I feel scared. I'm really anxious, but I don't know why. And as soon as you open your mouth and you say those things, God starts to meet with us, because you're inviting him in. You're inviting him into the things of your life. And then what about the circumstances that you've got going on? There's all sorts of things that will be stressing you out right now. And the question, have you prayed about it? Have you invited God into the situation? Have you asked him to change it? And I think it's human pride sometimes, isn't it, that we like to be self-sufficient. I mean, that is it's the essence of pride, isn't it, is that we kind of go into ourselves. It's like, well, I can do it. And it's like, no, God gets the glory when we pray. Jesus gets the glory when we pray. We don't boast about anything, because Jesus has done it all. And so I just want to encourage you, really, that if you think of prayer more about relationship and conversation, rather than just coming to God and asking for stuff, and then you get your Bible out and you read that, what you'll find is your life begins to transform. I remember preaching on prayer before, and I thought, I'm going to spend the whole week, I'm going to pray for absolutely everything. I probably should have done it this week. I just remember God answered so many prayers that week, because I was involving him in my life, because he was probably going to answer some of those things anyway. But it made it so much more exciting to pray for it and then see him move. And so how else can we pray? We can pray prayers of praise, adoring God for who he is. I think sometimes that's what comes out when you read the Psalms and things like that, and you hear other people praising God. It can really lift your own spirit. It's a bit like what Catherine brought this morning. It's like when we raise our hands together. I love it when people come and pray on a Sunday morning, because I find it stirs my faith. It stirs my enjoyment of God. Ultimately, being a Christian is having a relationship with God and enjoying him. Do you enjoy your relationship with Jesus? Is it the best thing in your life? Is it the thing you're thinking about right now? Or are you wondering what you're having for dinner later? What's going on the barbecue this afternoon? Whether it's going to rain or not? Or are you going to be watching the football afterwards? Now, I do that, which is why I can say these things, because I have my mind wanders and it goes these five. Do you know what better thing could I do than praise God and enjoy him? We can pray prayers of thanksgiving. I mean, the world loves to talk about gratitude. You see it all over the place, because people have realized that actually having gratitude is one of the best ways to make your life more fulfilled and give you more joy. But how can you have gratitude if you don't know the person that you're thanking? Like, we get to have gratitude because we know there is a God who does bless his children, who does love us, who does give us good things. And so we can pray prayers of gratitude. And especially when things are going a bit bad, it's quite good to name the good things that God has done in your life. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive this morning. Thank you that you've given me friends and family. Thank you, God, that, you know, I've got food in my fridge or water in my tap. And I think it's really good sometimes to remember that there are people around the world who have nothing like what we have. But that gratitude then changes our attitude towards the other things that we're facing. And then we realize that we can actually involve God in those things as well. And so we don't want to get stuck in one kind of prayer. We pray with prayers of intercession. That means praying for other people. Another good way to help your heart is to start praying for people, because it makes you less self-involved and you start to think about all the things that are going on. There are people in the church at the moment who are going through really difficult things. And so we want to pray for one another. And it's great because it actually knits us together. I know when I'm praying for someone, I'm much more interested in them when I see them, because I've been praying for them. And so you think about God building community and body and family here. And so Paul wants us to pray for all things at all times. And that's his attitude right the way through this book. And then last week, didn't we? We talked about spiritual warfare and how prayer has a power against the enemies of God. It's one of our weapons. It's like pray in the spirit at all times. Read this in Revelation. I find these verses amazing. Revelation 5:8, and when he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense. So this is a heavenly scene, the end of all things. It says, which are the prayers of God's people. So think about your prayers. It says in Revelation that they're going to go on into eternity. another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. On the golden altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. So think about your prayers for a minute, that there's a bowl somewhere that your prayers are going to be filling up. Now, I think there's certain kinds of prayers, aren't there, when we're doing battle, when we're praying for other people. But they're not just having an impact here in this world, if you like. There's something going on in the heavenly realms that these prayers one day are going to be lifted up and they're going to be like incense. It's like a sweet-smelling smell. And so you think about that, think, actually it matters that I pray. God's doing something in the heavenly realms that I can't see that my prayers actually impact. And so when we pray for people, when people are going through a hard time, don't discount yourself. If you're a Christian, your prayers matter. I don't understand it, or I can't explain why, but God has said it in his word, and so we believe it, we accept it, that it matters that we pray. And so I just want to encourage you into that, to be thinking about your prayers and thinking, I want to pray, I want to be part of this. If we know someone that's going through a hard time, I want to start praying for them. Because somehow there's a spiritual battle that they're in, and my prayers actually have an impact on that. Because God has made it so. Because he's a good father, and he loves to involve us in what's going on. When we get to heaven and we see it, we're going to be blown away by all the things that happened in this life that we just had no idea what was going on, but somehow we had a part to play in it. And I think it's just going to be real rejoicing. I think, I'm so glad I went to that prayer meeting. I'm so glad I prayed for that person. And so I just want to encourage you in that, that there's so much more than we can see. Someone mind grabbing me a glass of water? Sorry, I'm drying up. Thank you. And then finally, keep praying for all the Lord's people. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. He's encouraging us to pray for one another. And again, Paul prays two big prayers throughout the book of Ephesians. And he acts it out himself. He lives it out. And he says in verse 19, thank you. That's great. He says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is Paul, the great apostle. He's in prison. You can imagine how much trouble he's going to get in when he keeps declaring the gospel, right? But he's saying, keep praying for me because I want to keep doing it. There's this temptation. I just want to keep quiet now and go, can I get out of prison? So will you pray for me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel from prison? And it wasn't like prison that we have today. This is a place he could have had his head lopped off and not many consequences. And so I just want to encourage you to pray for people, particularly people that are in leadership or evangelists, people that are going overseas to go and share the gospel, but also for one another again, that we'll declare. I mean, we need courage, right? We find it hard to share the gospel with people because they might ridicule us. But we're not worried that we're going to get killed over it or put in prison, not most of us. I think we need to pray for each other that we'll have more boldness and courage. You get into a conversation at work and you think, oh, I better not say anything because I might get told off. It's like, come on, let's be bold with the gospel. This is the best news we could ever share. Obviously, we've got to be appropriate in how we share it. But again, Paul is just, he's saying it, you know, pray for me. I say it as well, pray for us. Pray for me in leadership. Pray for the other elders of Grace Church. There's warfare, there's spiritual battles that we face. It's hard sometimes. But I know many of you do pray for us, and I feel it sometimes. This time, like, I think people are praying for me because I just sense it in God. And so thank you to those of you that do. And I just urge everyone, pray for your leaders. The Bible says that. Encourage us with prayer. And so he's encouraging us to do that. And then in his final greetings, he just encourages the church again. He talks relationally again. So he sent Tychicus. He's got this wonderful friend, Tychicus, who's obviously not in jail, but he's given him the letter to take it to the church and to make sure it gets distributed. It says, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. And so as Paul finishes off this wonderful book in Ephesians, he just wants to give an encouragement that this is all about relationship. This is all about the church. You know, who are the Tychicuses in this church that are being sent out? We want to be a church that sends people. And so as we finish, I wanted to pray for a couple of people. I wanted to take some time to pray for one another as well. And so I had, I'm going to skip through just a couple of bits there. So I'd love us to pray for Guy and for Lou. So if you don't know them, Guy is over there on the sound over there, and Lou is leading the meeting this morning. They're both feeling a call, a sense in God to really go out on mission, to go overseas, to do you think they've got separate things that God is calling them towards. And so I just asked them to share a couple of points. And what I'd love to do is pray for them. And then what I'd like us to do is pray for one another through some of the things that we've looked at this morning. And I'm going to put the prayers of Paul from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 just as a kind of an encouragement of a way to pray. And when you see how Paul prays, it's all about us knowing Jesus more. It's all about us having our eyes enlightened to know how much God loves us. Because ultimately, everything flows out of that relationship. So again, I'll go back. Why is it so important to read the Bible? Because it's where God tells you how much he loves you and what he's done for you. That your life is so much more than what you see in front of you. That there is an eternal plan and an eternal purpose for each one of us in this room. And that God wants you to know him and to be close to him, have a relationship with him, that he's not distant. He's not far from any one of us. It says if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And so as we finish, as we pray, I'm just going to read out a few of the things that Guy and Lou have shared. But also be thinking about who else you can pray for. How can people pray for you? Someone says, how can I pray for you? You go, oh no, I'm fine, thank you. So come on, we can do better than that. If that's how you feel, it's like, well, maybe you need to ask someone to pray. Give me something that I want God to work on in my life. Give me something that's going to stir my spirit and affections for him. A good prayer is like, can you just pray for me to love Jesus more? Because I don't really at the moment. I'm feeling a bit religious and heavy and dry. That's a good prayer to ask for. We should be okay to say that, right? I ask for that prayer all the time. I'm like, I'd love to have more joy in my relationship with God. Pray for that for me. I'll say that now. So just as we finish then, so I'm going to read out a few things. So Guy, he does a lot of work with sailing and teaching and supporting other people on the boats, and he's just got this real desire to share the gospel through these opportunities. So from next Friday, he's got 5 days in the Ipswich area with young people from a school in that area, and so he's then got a couple of, he's got 2 one-day trips with families as well that are facing various challenges, and so he's really making, I mean, very proud of you, Guy, for how you really go to such efforts to witness to people through something that you're passionate about. God's put something in his heart he loves to do. I assume you love sailing, Guy. And yet he's not just doing it as a hobby in his retirement. He's using it as a way to go and share the gospel and to bless people. And so I'll just speak well of you there, Guy. I honour you for that. And I think it'd be really good to pray for him. To know, you know, when Guy's not around, it's because he's out doing these kinds of things. And he also goes across to Greece and Turkey and things like that. And so I'd love it if we can pray for Guy in a moment, give him courage and boldness as well, and the wisdom to say the right things, and that the young people and families would just experience God's love through him. Good things to pray for. I feel like that's a kind of prayer Paul saying, come on, pray for me, encourage me. Let's pray for Guy and do that. And then Lou is going on a trip. She's helping to lead it. And it's so we do New Day, which is part of it's our youth stuff for the kids. So we've got a few kids going off to that in July. And so the people who run that are also organising this trip. They're taking 9 young people on a mission trip into Turkey. And they're going to be going basically quite near to, not too far from Ephesus in some sense, going along the coast a bit to Antioch, which is where Paul began his first missionary journey. And so we learned that in our Acts series. And it says here, that Lou gave me some notes, it said that the city was devastated by earthquakes in 2023, but since then there's a growing Christian presence that's just been involved in rebuilding and serving the community there. And so Lou's going to help serve on this trip, to just go and serve the people there and show them God's love. And, you know, there's risks that come with it. And I want to pray for safety, pray for encouragement. She's going to be setting an example for the young people as well. So, you know, pray for real opportunities with them. And just, yeah, courage and good organisation. I think that's one of the things, isn't it, that it all goes well. So we'll send her out nearer the time. It's end of June into July, so we'll pray for you before you go. So why don't we stand, and I'd love it, maybe a few people could gather. Guy, perhaps you move to the back in the middle there. And why don't a few people, we talk about laying hands on, you don't have to all do this, but if you know Lou or you know Guy and you want to pray for them, let's just take a few minutes now as we finish. And we'll pray for them, and maybe a few people gather and do that. But also, if you want prayer yourself, I'd love it if we just prayed for one another. And if you're not comfortable, that's absolutely fine. But just as we finish now, Joel, I don't think we need to play anything. I think we'll just pray, and we can put the sort of background music on. But can we take a few minutes, and we're just going to pray for one another before the kids come running in for the biscuits. And let me finish by praying, and I'll put the verses on the screen as well. So if you want to know how to pray, pray thanksgiving or asking for things, intercession, they're things you can ask for. But these are the passages, and you might want to read those. If you're standing there while someone else is praying, perhaps you pray with them, or you can see some of the things that Paul has said. This is Ephesians 1 and 3. Throughout there, the different things that Paul prays. I think these are really great ways to learn how to pray for each other. But maybe a few people come and lay hands on Lou and pray for her. But let me finish by praying, and then we'll just pray, and then we'll finish. And then if you want tea and coffee, you can have that as well. So yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for this book of Ephesians. Lord, what an amazing book it is. And Lord, help us to continually come to your word. Lord, give us new desires, new joy, new excitement, Jesus, in you. Lord, the prayers on the screen behind me, Lord, are all about having our eyes enlightened to see how wonderful you are. I pray, Holy Spirit, will you come now and meet with us? I pray for Guy, I pray for Lou as we send them out, Lord, to take the gospel to places where it's not been heard yet. Lord, I pray that you'll give them wisdom, that you'll give them encourage, and you'll give them the right words to speak into people's lives, that your spirit will be before them. Lord, already opening people's hearts up. And so I pray for us as a church as well this morning. Lord, will you bless us? Will you speak to us? Will you encourage us? Help us to be people who pray. Lord, help us to be honest about where we're at with that and not be ashamed of it, but just to learn and to read scripture, to be encouraged by it. God, we want to be a praying church. Help us to gather regularly to pray for one another and to know that it really does matter. You really do hear us. And I pray over these next few weeks as we explore the Lord's Prayer, Lord, will you just impact us powerfully, Lord? Lord, it's so easy not to pray, Lord, but so good when we do. So good when we press into revealing the things in our hearts before you that you already know. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord, will you encourage us? Will you answer prayer? I pray for good testimonies over the coming weeks of answered prayer. Of things where you've been waiting to bless us, but you wanted us to ask first because you're a good father who loves his children. So Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done, that you made the way that we can have a conversation with our heavenly Father, Lord, without shame, without fear, because you paid the penalty for our sin. You've removed the separation. And Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who doesn't yet know you, that they will turn, repent from their ways, and come to you in faith. Receive the good gift of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.